in this life. Now, I hope y'all don't look at me funny, but I like what I feel now. Sometimes I can't get that clear present picture of heaven. It seems like it's so far away, I can't get a good firm grasp on it. I feel like the Queen of Sheba. And when I get there, I'm going to probably say, boy, the half what even told, how wonderful it is. Now, I'm not saying I love this life better than the life to come, but I believe in the Scripture when Jesus said, the thief cometh to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Now, it's not the works that I do that gives me abundant life. It's not the works that I do that makes it more abundant. My righteousness, my works is filthy rags in the sight of God. The work I do now is the work that I was created to do when I was born again. And that was good works. Tell people about Jesus. Live a life that tells people about Jesus. You know, you can live a life without saying a word, but it speaks volumes about Jesus Christ. And I do believe it's the life that we need to live. And I want to preach this morning. Do you know the voice of the shepherd? Do you know the voice of the shepherd? And I want to say that a lot of times we, in the day and time we're living in, a lot of times we'll get looked at as we're the dinosaur, or we're the old, out-of-date way of doing things. But I want to say this, we're not outdated. It still may be an old-time way. It may be an old path, as Jeremiah said, to seek out. Stand and ask for him is what he said. Stand and ask for the old paths and walk therein. There you'll find rest for your soul. It's not old meaning it's outdated. It's old because it's been proven. You've heard me say that quite a bit. But I believe in the old time way being preached in a new modern day. It'll still bring victory. It'll still bring peace. It'll still bring joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Enough right there. Everybody could just come and get right with God. People could come and get their lives right with God. They say, preacher, what then? Just hold on to his hand as he's holding on to yours. He'll lead you through life. You say, preacher, but what if I let go? Don't worry, he won't. Don't worry, he won't. He's a wonderful Savior. And for some reason, there's a thing being said that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been. You know, a lot of people look at the hardest of sinners. They see the drunk, drug addict and think. But the Bible says that unless ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I believe even the things that people don't even know you've done, God knows. But he's not holding it against us, Brother Joe. He ain't got his thumb on us and trying to kill us. Says there's a stone, and that stone is Jesus Christ. Says if you fall upon that stone, you will get broken. But it's better than having the stone fall on you. Because if the stone falls on you, Scripture says it'll grind you into powder. I tell you what, sometimes, you know, as the old-timers say, you need to get broke down like an old shotgun. And the Lord won't put you back together. He'll give you a brand new life. And it's the best life you could ever have. I'm going to be reading out of the Gospel of John, 10th chapter, familiar Scripture. It should be for all saved people. I say that Scripture should be familiar Scripture to all saved people. You say, preacher, you say that quite a bit. I'm trying to provoke you into really getting in love and into that Bible, John chapter 10. Why? Because these words are words of life. It'll help you in times of need. And in John chapter 10, we're going to read these first six verses. And we ask you and invite you to stand with us, if you're able, to the reading of God's Word. If you can't stand, we know it's all right. But I want to read this Gospel of John, 10th chapter, starting at verse number 1. If you got it, say amen. If you ain't got it, say hold up, preacher. These are what we like to say, them words in red. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you, Father, one more time today. Lord, we ask for clarity of heart and clarity of speech. We ask you, Lord, Father, to anoint our mouth and our voice and our lungs. Lord, with that fresh oil, anoint us, Lord, Father, one more time with that fresh oil from up on high. Lord, that we may not preach too fast or too slow. That we not say things that would not bring glory unto your name and express the gospel. But Lord, also not hold back words, that we would be bold enough to say exactly what needs to be said. Lord, I am a trumpet in your hand. Lord, I pray that you preach through me. But Lord, I humble myself, Lord Father. I ask you, Lord Father, if you would, forgive me if I failed you. Lord, we need you. This congregation is expecting a word that comes from you. And I believe, Lord Father, whether we admit it or not, we're expecting to hear something that's life-changing. And Lord, if our lives have been changed, I believe this word can still change us, Lord, even for the better. And Lord, I pray that we all would do it. I pray for our attention to be arrested, focused upon the Lord. I'm glad that we got babies, Lord Father, in the congregation. That the mommy's not worried, Lord. I know I got a big mouth. I can out-preach a shouting baby. But Lord Father, I pray that our hearts would be focused, centered. Lord, I know that you're able to quiet and quill and squash all the distractions. I pray the songbook hold no distraction for anyone in the congregation. And Lord, above all things, glory, honor, and praise will be given to your high and holy name. In the name of Christ Jesus, your Son, we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading this here. The Bible says in the 6th verse, this parable spake Jesus unto them that was there with him. We find that in the chapter previous, we find this is where Jesus had come across the man that was born blind. And he anoints his eyes with mud and spit, and anoints his eyes and has him go wash and to pull a Siloam and goes through that whole thing. And he's speaking unto him, and that whole scripture in chapter number 9, and it continues on in chapter number 10, because there's Pharisees, there's religious people in the midst of Jesus Christ. And may I say, there will always be religious people. There will always be denominations. There will always be things that some folks will hold more near and dear. And can I say this? There's nothing more important than having Christ Jesus in your heart. Christ Jesus crucified, may I say, that Jesus Christ that we worship, the Christ Jesus that we adore, he was crucified. He was born of a virgin Mary. His mother was highly favored in the sight of God. And she had not never known a man. She was a virgin. Somebody say amen right there. He did exist. He was born. I know a lot of folks like to make movie comments about him and say, you know, things like little baby Jesus and stuff. But can I say, it doesn't matter all the things, the comical things that he says. But you know what? They still know for a fact, even in the depths of hearts and the depths of history, this Christ Jesus did walk the earth. And he was sinless, the Bible says. He was sinless. He was without spot, without blemish. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. And why? Because he was dying for all of our sin. The Bible says there was no man found worthy to open up the seals of the book, but the Lion of the tribe of Judah who hath prevailed. He was worthy to open up the seals of the book. What was that book, preacher? It was the gospel. That would be the salvation for our soul. He was worthy to open up the seal. He was worthy to bear all the sins. The Bible says who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made in the righteousness of God. Oh, I say praise his dear name for a Savior that came and lived and died for you and I. He's much more than just a story. He's much more than a song. He is the very reason that we all live. I've heard people say, well, that's saved people. That's the reason why saved people live. No, he's the reason why everybody lives, that everybody ever lived and evermore. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. And the Bible says later on, now I do believe in the 17th verse, and the Word became flesh, and we dwelt among us in full of grace and truth. Oh, the Savior is something else, and he still is today. I'm glad Sister Tina sung that song, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He says, the good Lord giveth and the good Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Because he ever lives. And the Bible says that he's at the right hand of the Father. He died upon the cross. Y'all pray. I ain't got to the message yet. I hate to have a whole big giant introduction and not get to the message, but I want to mind the Spirit of the Lord. He was only not only born, but he lived and he walked. He was sinless. He was spotless. He was tempted in all points like you and I are. No matter what sin you go through, he faced it. He bore it. He became it. But it did get the best of him. Sin has gotten the best of you and I. Sin has got the best of you. Even saved at my best. Brother Tony liked to beat my chest and rip open my shirt and get a super saved t-shirt on underneath it. Could leave tall buildings and still bound, but no, I'm still just as rotten as the day is long. This flesh is nasty. It has to go back to the dust of the earth because flesh and bone cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But I'm glad there's a body coming. I'm glad he redeemed my soul and sin on the day of redemption. The Bible says we died upon the cross. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 9, under the most all things were cleansed or the other things were forgiven by the shedding of blood. There was a sacrifice made for sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And even though I have sinned and you have sinned, I thank God that before even we knew that we were going to be a sinner, that God had a Savior for you and had a Savior for me. And he died upon the cross. That was the sacrifice that pleased God. And he was in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. Somebody say amen right there. Jesus says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the center of the earth. That just kicks Good Friday on down the road, don't it? Somebody say amen right there. I don't know why I said that. Y'all just prayed. God told me to say it. Y'all have to pray for me now. But can I say this? But he lived and he died. He did die. I've heard people say, you think Jesus really did? You don't think maybe he just went into a coma? No, the Bible says he died. And he did die, but he got up again on that third and glorious morning. Woo! Why did he get up for? So you and I could have a brand new life. The Bible said he was seen amongst the brethren, seen amongst 500 men and women, seen amongst the disciples. And the Bible says a cloud received him and took him on up to glory. And the Bible says now he ever liveth to make an intercession for you and for me. That means he's at the right hand of the Father. Whenever you go, when you cry out unto him, whenever that lamb or that shepherd, that sheep cries out unto the shepherd hears the voice of his own sheep. And the Bible says he'll make an intercession for you and for me. I'm glad to say this, that nobody's ever born like he was born. Nobody ever lived like he lived. Nobody ever died like he died. Thank God he got up. And we'll get up too one day after a while. He says here, he that entereth into the door, and entereth not by the door, other than to the sheepfold, but cometh up some of the way, is a thief and a robber. Can I say this? The shepherd will always come to the door. He won't sneak in through the window. He won't hop the fence. Y'all hearing the preacher? You say, preacher, why are you saying this? Because the shepherd doesn't have to try to fool the sheep. Right? I don't know why I'm on this for. God stopped me right in the middle of the reading. Brother Josh, y'all pray for me. He said, you know what? Your shepherd don't have to sneak around. You ain't got to worry about him sneaking trying to get you. He ain't gone off and doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing. He knows exactly when to come help. He knows when feeding time is. He knows when watering time is. He knows when you need a little help. He knows when you need a little love and a little TLC, a little petting time. He will never cop the fence or come through the window. The Bible says those are what thieves and robbers do. Right? Thieves and robbers are the ones who are afraid to go to the door. But Jesus come to the door. He's the shepherd. If you'll have it, the Bible says later on in the scriptures, he is the door. And the Bible says in that second verse, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. We have a shepherd. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Aren't you glad today to know that Jesus knows your name? We sing that song, he knows my name. I say this, I'm glad that he knows who I am. A lot of times we get caught up in that talk that says, I know the Lord, I know the Lord. I believe if you ask as many people as you want to ask, there's a lot of people that say, who knows the Lord? But Jesus said, in that day, when that day will come, they'll come unto Jesus and say, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out demons in thy name? And you might say, well, let's put it in 2018 and South Lebanon type context. Hey, haven't we sang in the choir in thy name? Haven't we shook the preacher's hand in thy name? Haven't we carried a King James Bible in thy name? Have we not listened to the preacher in thy name? Have we not went to revivals in thy name? But Jesus said, I'll say unto thee, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. I'll say today the most important thing that you need to have in your life is that Jesus Christ knows who you are as being his sheep. As being a part of his flock. Have you ever heard the voice of the Lord? Now, for some of you might be thinking, preacher, you're on dangerous ground. They might get a straitjacket for you and the paddy wagon and a padded room for you if you say you're hearing voices. But can I say this? The Lord does speak. Never had a problem with the Lord speaking. Somebody say amen. We say it quite a lot. But I'm reminded how the Lord speaks. The Lord does speak to people. And some folks would think that's crazy talk. Some folks think that's foolish talk. That's foolishness, preacher. That's a bunch of foolish things to be saying. But I'm reminded the Apostle Paul said this. He says, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us that believe it is the power of God. The Lord spoke to me one day. Oh, praise His holy name. Has He spoke to you? You say, preacher, I just don't believe it. When Acts chapter number 9, verses number 3 and 4, and those two verses, and preceding those three at 3rd and 4th verse, we find where Saul is his name, and he's got letters. He's been given the authority to go persecute the church and to persecute them that worship the name of Jesus Christ. He has been given the permission to throw the disciples of Jesus Christ in jail. He's been given the permission to not only to throw them in jail, but testify against them, saying, yes, these are the one who worship that man, Jesus Christ. They are the one who has turned the world upside down. Y'all pray for me now. And this is the ones that sing the songs that would not shut up and keep going. I wonder if there's enough evidence on you and I to put us in jail and somebody could testify against us saying, that's one of them Jesus fanatics. That's one of them holy rollers. That's one of them loving God, loving Jesus, loving Bible, Bible thumping. Somebody say amen right there. You can be a Bible thumper and a holy roller and you ain't got to be mean to nobody else. You can be just as kind as the honey is sweet. And I'm telling you this, God's looking for that brand. God's looking for that group of people for them to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I don't like dead songs. I don't like dead sermons. I don't like dead preachers. I don't like dead churches. And God don't like them neither. He's looking for that crowd as Saul was looking for them. Saul was on the road to Damascus and he had the papers to persecute him. But the Bible says in that 3rd and 4th verse that there was a light that shined around him. Somebody say amen right there. Now, whenever I got saved, they didn't turn the lights brighter up, but something got a whole lot brighter in my mind and in my heart and in my soul. And the Bible says they all fell, but Saul said, I heard a voice. I heard a voice. And the voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, it's the Lord Jesus Christ whom thou persecutest. Can I say this? Some folks might say, preacher, that's crazy talk. That's crazy talk. I don't think the Lord really speaks, but I'm writing in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 10. The Bible says, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. For all of us that's believe, all of us that's born again in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 10, it says, John was in the Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day. You know, it'd do us a whole lot of bit of good if we got in the Spirit before we go showed up to church. Amen, ain't that right? You've heard me preaching about getting ready for church before you come to church, and I'm not talking about putting on the loafers and putting on the skirt and the tie and the dress shirt. I'm not talking about that, but brushing your teeth. I think all those things are needed. Somebody say amen right there. No one likes bad breath when you come to church. But can I say this? The Lord's looking for some people to get ready for Him, to get ready to worship in spirit and in truth. And John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And can I say this? When John got in the Spirit, Brother Eddie, the Bible says he heard the sound. He heard the voice. He heard the Savior speaking unto him. In Revelation chapter 1:10, the Bible says he heard a sound as a voice, as of a trumpet. He heard the Lord speaking unto him. And you say, preacher, do you think the Lord speaks? Oh, I believe He speaks. Probably one of the most famous scriptures of the Lord speaking is in Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 8. The Bible says after Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, we all know that, right? Preacher, I can't keep them 10 commandments. Hey, you're in good company. Adam and Eve had one. They couldn't keep it. But the Bible says that the voice of the Lord come walking through the cool of the day. And they feared the Lord and hid themselves. Why? Because the voice of the Lord, when He speaks, it just does something. It changes your whole mentality. No matter who you are on the exterior, you may build up a strong image. You may say, well, I'm this and I'm that. But when the Lord speaks, you can't hide. When the Lord speaks, there's no place to run. There's no place where the voice of the Lord cannot get to you. I'm reminded of this, that many times people say, well, you just believe that the Lord's going to speak to people. I believe He's going to speak to everybody in this congregation today. And I'll walk always say this. Hebrews chapter number 2 says this, that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. And oftentimes, Brother James, I'm amazed that when the Lord speaks, and I can look out through the congregation, and the Lord opens up my spiritual eye just a little bit wider, and Brother Joe, I look and see who the Lord is speaking, and folks is listening. And I see other folks out there who looks like they're just zoned off into atmosphere. They're looking down, and you see a bright light shine up in their face. I don't know if it's their cell phone or not, but can I say something? That we don't have a problem with God speaking. We have a big problem today with a lot of folks hearing what God has to say. Our ears have been filled up with the things of the world, and I've said it many a times, we got spiritual tinnitus. We got a ringing of the things of the world, a ringing of the things of this land, and a ringing of the things of stuff in our ears that so many times we can't hear what God's just saying because we got it too filled up with stuff that's got us tone deaf to everything else in the world. Can I say sometimes people may not like it, but Brother James, I still think it's right. I think there's a lot of things we ought to cut out of our life. If it's not adding anything to us, we ought to get rid of it, because if it's not adding, it's a from us. And I'm the first one in line and says I need to get some things out of my life. But friend, the one thing that I always want to have in my life is the voice of the Lord. He always speaks. He always speaks. Can I say this? He has a distinctive voice. I've heard people say, preacher, how will I know when the Lord will speak to me? And James put it the best way I've ever heard it put. You'll just know. You'll know it. You won't be able to deny it. Though you've never heard the voice before, you think, but when you hear it, it's like a voice that you already know. Right? Don't look at me like I'm getting charismatic and crazy on you. I need some help on that one. Because I believe this, Brother Scott, ain't a person been born again and saved unless God first called them, spoke, drawed them, wooed them, drawed them. They was brought. As Brother James said in Psalm 51, David's pleading for forgiveness for the sin he had with Bathsheba. And the Bible says, Lord, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, Lord, thou will not despise. That means he wants to see you sorry for the things that you've done. May I say this, if you never are sorry for the sins that you commit, you'll never run to the Savior who can save you from those sins. Is that right? Hey, I've been broke. I've been broke since I've been saved. I'd like to say that I have not been, but I've been broke since I've been saved. The Bible says if you know to do good and don't do it, the Bible says to him it's sin. We all guilty. Don't you wave your banner like you're some kind of victorious person. We all need Jesus every day of our life. But he speaks distinctively. And I'm reminded in John chapter number 7 that them Pharisees, them high priests, them religious folks sent some centurions to get him. They said, when you see him, you handcuff him, stuff him, put him in the back of the car and haul him off to jail. Don't read his Miranda rights to him. You need to get rid of him. And the Bible says he's a preaching. The Bible says he's a speaking. And the Bible do believe in one part in that scripture that some of them people heard him. They said, why is it them people sitting there? They're hearing the same things we're hearing. Do they believe that he's the Messiah? They wonder about all the things that he was saying. And the Bible says when he got done saying and everything, and there's some centurions that were supposed to get him, they just froze, Brother Jeff. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't move. They couldn't act upon what the flesh wanted the flesh to do. They couldn't act upon what the religious folks told them to do. And when they come to him, they went to the centurions. They said, did you get him? Did you handcuff him? Did you grab a hold of him? Did you have him? Did you hold him fast? Did you keep him from spreading the word? And this is what they said in John chapter number 7 and verse number 46. They said, yeah, but you don't understand. Never a man spake like this man. Never a man spake like this man. Can I say this? The woman at the well said, a man that told me all I ever did is not this the Christ. I mean, think about this. The very woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, and she could not say that I'm innocent. She could not try to prove her innocent. She couldn't point the finger at nobody else. But when Jesus began to speak, it convicted the very man who tried to get her killed. And when Jesus stood up and said, woman, where are thy accusers? Does any man condemn thee? She said, no man, sir. He said, neither do I. Somebody say amen right there. But he did say, go and sin no more. Never a man spake like Jesus Christ. That old song said, I heard a sweet voice so tenderly calling. He was saying, arise and be saved evermore. I can't explain it. But that voice was so distinct, never a man spake like he has to me. And never a man since has ever spake like he spake. And he's still speaking to me. And can I say this? Has the Lord, I'll ask you this. Has the Lord ever spoke to you? And you knew it would be on a shadow of a doubt that it was Him? Can I say not only is His voice distinct, His voice is truthful. His voice will always be in truth. I thought about this. We're living in these days and times. Lord will always speak truth. In Galatians chapter number 1, if you want to flip it, we'll read a couple verses. The Lord will always speak in truth, Brother Joe. The devil is the father of lies. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation. Ain't that good? And I'll say this, you'll never have to worry about if what He's telling you is right. Now, before I read these scriptures, don't you go reading ahead on me, getting ahead on me. You might miss this. When the Lord speaks, Brother Eddie, He has spoke of my sin. He doesn't speak as we read out of these scriptures, but the scriptures that He speaks, the words that He speaks do come from the scriptures. That makes sense? He will always give you the truth. He told His Father when He was praying in the garden, He said, Father, sanctify them, talking about the disciples. And He was praying for them that would believe on their name, on His name through them. He said, sanctify them, Father, sanctify them with Thy word. Thy word is truth. And Jesus will always speak the truth. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 6, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I want to stop right there and say this. There's many a people out there perverting the gospel of Christ. There's a lot of people out there who thinks that when the Lord blesses me, that means everything is going to be monetary and my bank account is going to blow up and I'm going to drive around in a Cadillac and live in a sick mansion. Can I say this? I'm not saying God can't stuff your pocket and fill your cabinets and fill up the refrigerator. I believe our God's that kind of God. But too many times we try to consume everything upon our own lust and our own flesh. But the Bible says that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ is that sinners have sinned. Jesus has died and reconciled them unto God. That's the blessing. Verse number 8, he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have heard, or we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you, then ye have received, let him be accursed. Can I say this? A true man of God, a church that's filled with God, won't ever have to worry about being accursed. Can I say this? These are not my words. There's no way I could come up with these words. You said, preacher, how'd you get these words? Reading, studying, memorizing, reading, studying, memorizing. Preacher, I don't know very many scriptures. Hey, put yourself right next to me. But the ones you know, you should know very, very well. And they should be the truth. We're living in days and times when people are preaching a gospel and it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your best life now, how to make a better life for your own self in this world. You was created for success and you was created to be good and all you have to do is follow God and believe on Him and everything's going to fall into place. Friend, that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know some people might say, preacher, you don't see the good in anybody. No, that's not what I'm not looking for. I got hope for all mankind, but my Bible tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? We've all turned away. We've all went our own way. We're like sheep led into slaughter. Wait, we do not listen to the shepherd, but thank God He comes a-coming looking for us. The Bible said God looked down from heaven, Brother James, to see if anybody understood, if anybody sought Him, and there was none. So what did He do? He said, I'm going to have to do something a little bit more for these men, these women, these boys and girls. He said, I'll give them my son. The Bible says He not only speaks with a distinctive voice, He speaks with a truthful voice. And not only does He speak with those, He speaks with a life-giving voice. His words speak life. Can I say this? I believe 100% you preach against sin. Y'all listen to the preacher, look at me. Some of you get mad at me because I get specific on sin. Can I tell you what? We got too much generalities going on in our country. Too much generalities going on in our churches. Too much generalities going on in our home. The Lord gets specific with my sin. Somebody say amen right there. Is that right? Lying still a sin. White lies are still black lies. They're all lies, right? Fornicating, still wrong. Still a sin, right? Adultery, still sin, right? Y'all with the preacher? Know of a man and a woman going through a divorce, and they decide to air it all out for everybody to know. weren't even 2 days after they'd announced their separation. One's already got himself another significant other and taking pictures. God help us. Our world, our church world no longer sees adultery and fornication. No longer sees the things of sin still being sin. I saw a guy this one time, and y'all may get mad at me, and I'm not trying to be mean, but I said I want to have the boldness to say what God wants me to say, but not bring exhortation into his gospel. But Sister Kim, I'm fed up with this generation that says, well, God judges my heart and doesn't worry about the outside. God judges my heart and doesn't worry about the outside. Well, preacher, that's the Bible. That's absolutely right. That's the Bible. But the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. And on the side of the tree you see the fruit. So many times people get mad and say, well, you're judging. Well, don't judge me then. But the Bible says it was down the sign for 2 or 3 weeks. By their fruits you shall know them. I mean, I'm sitting there telling you, I was talking to a lost man at work. I'm trying to get him into church. And over and over and over again, do you know what causes him not to come to church, Sister Vicki? Church people cause him not to come to church. Don't you all get mad at me? You know I'm preaching the truth because God's a preaching the truth right now. His words are truth. His words are distinctive, but his words are life. I looked at him and said, friend, you can't base your walk and your life and your eternal existence on what somebody else is doing. Hey, just because they say they go to church and just because they say they believe in Jesus Christ, but they're slumped over in some alley somewhere drunk as a skunk, cheating on their spouse, gambling and robbing and stealing and lying. You don't put your trust in him. Put your trust in the one who died for all those sins. He'll change your life. Life-changing words. Jesus had a crowd following him. There was a bunch of them that followed him, but they only followed him for the fishes and the loaves. You said, preacher, what do you mean? When he fed that 5,000 with the fishes and the loaves, a bunch of people wanted to follow along because they saw the physical blessings that would come if they hung with Jesus. And can I say this? I have to say amen. When you hang out with God's people, there's some blessings that come with being with God's people. Don't y'all look at me like I'm crazy. You know it's right. But just because they get blessed and you get to have a little overflow spill on you, doesn't mean you're saved. Doesn't mean you have the voice of the shepherd. Y'all hearing the preacher? I'm trying to get this right. Because when Jesus had that crowd following him, he began to preach a message that's saying, I am the bread of life. He said, no. They said, no, Moses was the one who gave that bread to come from heaven. He said, no, Moses gave bread unto your fathers and they're dead. He said, I'm the bread of life. You may take a piece of this bread, shall have life eternal. They shall never die. He began to preach. And the message was real hard. The message was real straight. And a lot of those folks didn't like what he had to say. But he said these words unto them. He says, the words that I speak. He says, the flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. Can I say this, Brother Joe, since I've been saved, I can't say my flesh has profited anything. But can I say my spirit and my soul has been birthed again. And I've been blessed ever since I've been saved. He said, the words I speak, the flesh profiteth nothing. If you have a fleshly type religion, that's why on Monday and Tuesday you're struggling to get through the week. Preacher, do you struggle on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? Vicki, I do. I struggle on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. How do you get through? There's some words that were spoke on the inside. He said, the words I speak, the flesh profiteth nothing. But Brother Miller, he said, they are spirit. And they are life. Many of those disciples said, I ain't going to follow him no more. He's too hot. He's too tough. He's too strict. Can I say this? I said it before. The only time I got to worry about the preacher jumping on my toes is if I got my feet dipped into something I ought not to be in. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all stick your toe in there and see if that water's too cold or if it's too warm. And sometimes we like to take our spiritual foot and there's some things in the world and say, put your toe in and see if it's really wrong or not. And we get it all over us. Right? Jesus got specific. His words are distinct words. His words are familiar words. And his words are life. Spoke life into you. When I was lost and undone, just like anybody else, there was something a-calling my name. At that time, that voice I heard, Brother Miller, I knew who it was, but I never heard that voice before. I moved upon the sound of that voice. I moved upon my heart. I moved upon the things that was being said, Sister Michelle, on the inside, something that I could not deny. I could not deny. I got around church people. I thank God my wife took me around church people. I did not like church people, Brother Tony. Didn't like them. Because I knew if I got around them, they're going, you want to come to church? Going to come to church? You need to get in church. One told me you need to clean your mouth out and straighten your act up. Well, I wanted to put a pot not on his head. But he was right. He was right. He wasn't being mean. He was speaking truth. And we don't like to hear the truth, but the truth is, hear it. And what you need to hear it from is not from me. You need to hear it from your shepherd. Have you ever heard the voice of the shepherd? I'm reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, 14, I do believe it is. It says there are many distinct voices in the world, and they have their significance. We got the voice of our media. Can't trust them. I said we can't trust them. Don't be, hey, if it goes on the internet, don't worry. They don't know who you are unless there's cameras in the ceiling fans. But we can't trust the voice of our media. Can't trust the voice on the radio. Can't trust the voice on the TV. Can't trust the voice in the government. Some of you Trump fans might be getting mad at me right now. Can't trust the voice of your president. Can't trust the schoolhouse voice. But can I say, this is nothing new, Brother Jeff. It's been going on forever. In the Garden of Eden, there was two voices being spoke. One was the devil and one was the Lord's. When you listen to the voice of the devil, you got problems. You're not listening to the voice of the shepherd. And I'll say this, there's many distinct voices, but there's only one person that's ever spoke like Jesus Christ. Nobody else can speak like him. Nobody else can call like he does. I'm reminded, the Bible says in the Old Testament, in Psalm chapter 95, the writer of Hebrews echoes it in chapter number 3, verses 7 through 8. He said, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, he's saying if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The reason being is because he's speaking to your heart. He's not speaking to our intellect. Somebody say, thank God he's not speaking to our intellect. Man, I'm so dumb. I'd have missed it by a country mile. But he spoke to my heart. And unlike anybody else ever spoke. And when he spoke to my heart, he showed me and he spoke to me, Sister Stella, I was dying and going to go to hell. So he spoke to me. I was going to die and going to go to hell. Hey, there's still a hell. And it's still getting bigger. People still go there. But the Lord's not pleased with the death of the wicked. It's his will that none perish, but all would come into repentance. All would be born again and saved. That when you hear his voice, and you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't think, I can't move, I can't do. What are they going to think? Well, that's the devil trying to speak on the other side of your heart, saying, don't listen to that preacher. Don't you listen to that preacher. What will your friends think? What will your family think? What will this person think? Well, they all going to think if you hook up with that religious crowd, they're going to make fun of you. You know what? They're going to make fun of you for some reason, for something. Let them make fun of you for something for good. Hit your wagon up to the Lord. Let him be your Savior. I'm about done. Revelation chapter number 3. Brother Irvin, the Bible says, Jesus said he stands at the door and knocks. He said, if any man hear his voice and open up the door, he'll come in and sup with him. And he'll sup with thee. What that's saying is he's not just knocking trying to sell you something. He's knocking and trying to move in and live with you. He wants to take up his abode in your heart. He wants to live with you for all of eternity.